Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Much of what we have been covering here out of Ephesians, primarily we looked at last week some things about Ephesians, about God's will, but as we've been looking at what we've been covering with God's will, all of it has been to do with God's revealed will. So these are things that God says, this is my will, I want you to know it. He tells us those things openly. He doesn't hide them. He's not secretive about them. But then there are things that are the hidden will of God. And in fact, not next week, but the week after, we'll actually talk a little bit how you can determine God's will for your life when it comes to the secret things, the things that are not revealed in Scripture, to give you some helpful things and all of that. So today's passage, though, is rather fascinating. It's an awesome passage. I will tell you that this passage is like one long sentence. It continues on and on and on and on and on. And because of that, there's a lot of people have different opinions, and some people debate about how these things apply and all of that. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time in the sense of walking through verse by verse. I really just kind of want to hit the high points here and show you how that they apply to God's revealed will for us. About 3 or 4 years ago, we went through verse by verse through the book of Ephesians. I think we spent about a year and a half walking through verse by verse. And so if you want to get a little bit more in depth on each of these things in these verses, you can find those messages online. And hopefully that might be a help to you. But as we look at these verses here, we see that one of God's will here is that he has blessed us with all these spiritual blessings. We see that as Paul uses the phrase, God blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And then he goes on to list all these spiritual blessings that he has blessed us in. If you look at verse number 5, we are told this. Verse 5, he says, he predestined us for the adoption of sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will. And so God's will is very purposeful in how he has blessed us. He has purpose behind what he does. God just doesn't do anything willy-nilly. He just doesn't all of a sudden say, yeah, you know, I'm going to do this instead. God has purposely and planned everything according to what he wants. So it's very purposeful. In verse number 11, we're told, he says that he works all things according to the counsel of his will. I love that. All things, right? All things. God uses all things to the counsel of his own will. And so God is always at work to bring his will to pass, namely salvation, and the blessings that we've received as a result of that. Now, there's about 6 of these blessings that we see here in this passage. And again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on them. I'm just going to mention them briefly. But what I want to do is I want to draw all of this to a close to help us to see how God, in his will, has blessed us. And we, as the recipients of his grace, those of us who know Christ as our Savior, how blessed we really are in Christ. And it's God's will that we would know that. It's God's will that we would praise him for all of that. And so this is what I want you to take away with you today. God's will is that I know how blessed I am in Christ. God's will is that I know how blessed I am in Christ. So let's take note of a few things here. Number one, God's will is that I would be blessed in spiritual blessings. Now, moving through this passage here, okay, if you follow along, the whole thing just drips with praising God. It just drips, right? It's just saturated in praise to God for the things that he's done. And almost in a way, it's like Paul is pulling back the curtain right? For us to see how blessed we really are in what God has done through salvation for us. And he's revealing to us and showing us how God has purposed all these things and how God has planned all these things to make it happen for our salvation. And if you look at it, some of these things, right, we see how God was working in the past. We see how God is working in the present. And we also see what God will do in the future and how he's reconciling all things to himself. We see that, and as we are experiencing his blessings. Now, much can be said today about blessings, right? Perhaps you've seen the Christian swag a lot of people use, and maybe they have the nice little pillow sitting on their couch, right? Simply blessed, right? Or they got the mug, simply blessed, you know? There's a lot of things that people say that I'm blessed. And yes, God does bless us. But in reality, what do we usually attribute blessings to? Physical, right? It's if I had a nice day, if things are going well, if I have a nice house, my kids are turned out well, right? And don't get me wrong, those are blessings to have, right? But Paul wants to draw our eyes towards heaven, right? He wants our hearts and our eyes to turn upward to see how blessed we really are spiritually, okay? So let's look at some of these things here as what God says these blessings are that we have. And he wants us to know how blessed we are because of God's will that is purposeful in making all these things happen. And he's working all things to the counsel of his will. Now look at verse number 3 here again. He says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing," right? I think this is why a lot of the health and wealth, prosperity gospel preachers are so popular today, because everybody is always focused more on the physical, right? And not the spiritual. The physical is only temporal, right? Spiritual is eternal, right? It will not fade away. It's not going to pass away. It's kept in heaven for us forever and ever. And so he tells us that we've been blessed with these spiritual blessings. So what are they? Well, here they are. Number one, we have been chosen in Christ. Verse number 4, listen to what he says. "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." And God chose us to be in Christ. Peter says that Christ was chosen even before creation, according to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 20. "And we were chosen to be in him. It is in Christ that we are chosen." You know, I am far from holy and blameless, right? We all stand in that same pool, right? Of we are not holy, we are not blameless. But because we are in Christ, right, there's been a difference there. And God has chosen this to happen. We have been chosen in Christ. And I'm not judged on my own merits, right? I don't stand before God based upon what I have done. I will be able to stand before God only simply because of Christ. Right? And what Christ has done. Christ has paid my penalty on the cross, and he took my sin, and he bore God's wrath for me so that I could have forgiveness and I could be holy before him. So we are chosen in Christ. A second blessing is we have been predestined to adoption. God has predestined me to be adopted as a child. Why? Because he wanted to. And you think about this. I mean, this is wild, right? We as human beings, we're far from holy, we're far from blameless, we're sinful. And what does God do? God chooses us and he adopts us, knowing the very worst about us. the very worst, he loves us. And he brings us into his family. That truly is a blessing from God, a spiritual blessing. Apart from Christ, we have nothing. We are spiritually bankrupt, and yet we have been blessed in all of that. Here's another one. Redemption and forgiveness. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. And so it is because I am in Christ that I have redemption and forgiveness. If we are not in Christ, you do not have redemption, you do not have forgiveness. You have to be in Christ in order to experience those things. And this is redemption and forgiveness. It's all come to us only because of God's grace. It's nothing that we have done, and it's a spiritual blessing of what God has done in giving this. And all of these things were, as look what he says, I love this. He says in verse number 8, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. That is a powerful word, lavished, right? I think when we were going through this, I had an example of this, and I had several cans of whipped cream. And I asked, was it you, Megan? I think it was, maybe it was, I can't remember. I can't remember, but I had one of the kids come up here, and I was showing them how we have been lavishly loved upon, and all these things have been poured upon. And I began to pour out all that whipped cream, right? And then after that one was gone, I got another one and poured out more, right? That's the idea of lavishly pouring out. And that's what God does for us. This is how he blesses us, through redemption and forgiveness, which he lavishly pours upon us. And I think the opposite of that is somebody who like begrudgingly does something, right? Oh, do I have to? Like, did you ever have, like with your kids, like you ask them to do something and you're like, all right, go do it. And then they're like, right? It's like this long, long drawn out thing, right? But God, what does he do? He lavishly pours these things on us. Number 4, God's will is made known to us. This is a spiritual blessing that he's given us. Again, look at verses 8 through 10. He says, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. Mystery is a word that Paul uses often throughout Scripture. I'll give you all the Scripture references here. Find it in Romans 11, 25, Romans 16, 25, 1 Corinthians 2, 7, 1 Corinthians 15, 51, Ephesians 1, 9, Ephesians 3, 3, Ephesians 3, 4, Ephesians 3, 6, Ephesians 3, 9, Ephesians 5:32, Ephesians 6:19, Colossians 1:26, Colossians 1:27, Colossians 2:2, Colossians 4:3, and 1 Timothy 3:16. And so this mystery that Paul is talking about, this mystery of his will, he's talking about this as something that God had planned all along but had not been revealed yet. But when Christ came on the scene, the mystery of God's will was revealed, right? The plan of everything, when the fullness of time had come, right? It's Galatians 4:4, God sent forth his son, born of a virgin, right? So God has revealed his will to us. And what is that? It's Christ, the Savior of the world. Then he is reconciling all things to himself. Both Jew and Gentile, right, are coming together as one. That's truly an amazing, amazing thing. And so we have been blessed in getting a privileged view right? The curtain has been drawn back, and we can see the will that he has made known to us. Another one here is that we are chosen and included in Christ. Verses 11 through 13 says, "In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit." Now, when we first look at these verses, it seems like Paul's kind of repeating himself, like what he talked about earlier about being chosen and predestined, right? But the idea here, Paul is getting at something different. And I believe he and the other earliest believers, right, they were chosen, right? Jesus called them to be disciples, right? Come and follow me. But this is awesome because he includes us in this, right? God has called us to himself. Come and follow me, right? Believe in me, trust in me. He's called us. And we have been chosen and included in Christ in all of that. In Romans 10, verses 14 through 15, we are told that believing in Christ, right, believing the gospel message is essential for us to be in Christ. And so we hear the word of God, we hear the gospel, right, and we believe it, and we are saved. And so we're chosen and included in Christ. Lastly, we're marked with a seal. Verses 13 and 14 again. "In him you also, when you heard the word of truth," right, the gospel of your salvation, "and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory." The guaranteed promise until we acquire possession of it. It's a down payment, right? It's the earnest money that God has put up for us, and we are sealed. We're marked with a seal. And that truly is a blessing to know that we have been included and we're marked with the seal of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, the seal, is a guarantee of authenticity, right? That we do know Christ, that Christ is in us, and we have the Holy Spirit. And so these are truly blessings that we have. So God's will is that I would be blessed in spiritual blessings. Now, I want you to think about all this. Way back in time, right? Way, way back in time, God planned all of this. And he purposed it. And he made sure that all things, whatever was happening, was going to work out for his will. See, God is never surprised. He's never like, "Ay, ay, 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 what just happened there? I just turned my head just for a couple minutes and this would happen?" No. God knows all of it, and he purposed and he planned everything according to his will. And so that truly is amazing to know that we have been blessed in Christ. God's will is that I would be blessed in spiritual blessings. Let's look at a second thing here. God's will is that I am in Christ. Repeatedly through this passage, we find Paul uses this expression "in Christ" or some variant of it. And he uses it over and over and over and over again. We are blessed in Christ, chosen in Christ, have redemption in Christ. We're included in Christ. And all of these things happen not because we follow Christ, but because we are in Christ, right? There's a difference there. We are in Christ because of God's action, right? Because of God's will. God willed it, right? We are in Christ, verse number 4. And we are in Christ because of our belief, as what verse 13 teaches us. And so God's will is that I am in Christ. And so being in Christ, his experience becomes my experience. In him, I have been crucified, I've been buried, and have resurrected, is what Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 10 teaches us, right? tells us those who were baptized in Christ, don't you know that you were baptized into his death, baptized into his resurrection, right? You've been resurrected in Christ, and so we are supposed to walk as new believers in Christ. We've also been seated with Christ in the heavenly realms, is what Ephesians chapter 2, 6 teaches us as well. And so throughout these 12 verses, Christ is central to all that God is doing, right? He's the main one, right? And this is all a part of God's will, God's purpose, and God's plan in all of this. He's purposed it, and he's using it for his own purposes. And so we are nothing, but God was pleased to include us in Christ. Scripture tells us that we as human beings, we are made a little lower than the angels. What are we? Dust. Right? We're frail human beings. And yet, God has included us in his plan. It's truly a blessing in all of that. And so God's will is that I am in Christ. And so we should join with Paul in praising God for the indescribable spiritual blessings that he has given us to us through Christ. So God's will is that I'm in Christ. Lastly, now I want you to see how all this draws together here, okay? God's will is that I live these truths through glorious praise. Now, in these 12 verses, verses 3 through 14, this is actually what we call a doxology. Doxology, that's just a big fancy word for hymn, okay? That's all it is. It's a hymn. It's something that we sing. Okay. Now, not only is it what we would call a doxology, but we would also call it a Trinitarian doxology. Again, Trinitarian, big fancy word. What is that? We're just talking about the Godhead, that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Okay. In these verses, this doxology, this hymn, gives praise to all three parts of the Godhead and how all three of them were included to actually allow God's will to take place. Okay, so let's look at them here just really quick. Okay, first of all, verses 3 through 6 gives praise to the Father for planning our salvation, right? The Father willed it, right? The Father plans all this, right? He plans it. Then we see in verses 7 through 12, gives praise to the Son for accomplishing our salvation. He bled, he died, he was crucified, right? He saved us, grace, forgiveness, all those things. He's included us, all those things. And then verses 13 through 14 gives praise to the Holy Spirit for protecting our salvation. And so this is a doxology, right, of praise to God who's done and accomplished all of these things. And so what is God's will for my life? Paul here, remember, he's pulling back the curtain. He wants us to see how blessed we are in Christ. And he says, look how blessed you are. Let's praise him for it. And is that not what we see Paul doing, right? Giving praise to God in all that he has done. Now, all of this praise should be lived out in our lives. This is God's will that we live these truths out. Now, I want you to see how Paul sums all of this up, okay? We're going to look at verses 15, okay, and 16, okay? Look what he says here. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Paul's prayer for these believers is that their love of Christ would continue to grow. How is it going to grow? They have the curtains been pulled back. Look how much God loves you. Look how much God has lavishly poured his grace upon you. Look how he has included you in Christ. Look how he has blessed you in Christ. And all of that should produce a heart of praise towards him and love towards Christ. From what we know about these believers is that they were Christ-centered in their faith and steeped in love towards one another, is even what Paul says, right? Their love towards one another. But I believe oftentimes, I found this true in my own life, that my love grows cold towards others, and it grows cold towards God. How am I going to reignite that passion? I'm going to have the curtain pulled back and see how much has been done, how much God has purposed in His will to bless me. And when I behold Christ and I behold what Christ has done, it should reignite a love in my heart for Him and towards others. And that's how we can live those truths out through glorious praise. Look at another one here, verse number 17. Look what he says. He says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. And it's basically to know Him better. This should be the desire of us all. We come to know Him better as we recall and preach these truths to ourselves over and over and over again. And so to know the Father and Jesus, Jesus said this is life eternal in John chapter 17, verse number 3. And so that's eternal life, to know the Father and to know Jesus. Look at another one in verse number 18, another way that we live these truths out. He says, having the eyes of your hearts enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. And as we experience more of the wonder and certainty of the hope that God has given us, right, through every these blessings that He has lavishly poured upon us, we come to see that Christ is everything. Christ in me is everything. Without Christ, I can do nothing. Right? And I am nothing without Christ. He is our hope of glory. Jesus is our righteousness. Now look what Paul says here. He says, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints. What are the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints? Are you convinced of what God says here? Of the riches of the glorious inheritance of His saints. Okay? I want you to think about this. What is this? As wayward people, as rebellious people that we are, God has chosen to bring us into His family. He's adopted us, right? He's forgiven us. He's lavishly poured grace upon us. And He allows us to share in His inheritance. We are His inheritance. We belong to Him. Are you convinced of that? Are you convinced that you belong to Jesus? That you're part of the family? Paul wants us to know that. Paul wants us to know about this glorious inheritance in the saints. We are His treasure. He really does love us that much. Now look at verse number 19. Look what he says. And what is the immeasurable greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His great might? The more we live these truths out, the more the Father will release the power of Jesus' resurrection in our lives. That's all Romans chapter number 6, right? As we yield to the Spirit, as we yield, right, to the working of the Holy Spirit, we experience more and more of that resurrection power, right? Do I need power over sin? Yes, I do. How am I going to get that power? Try harder? Nope. I have to yield to the working of the Holy Spirit in my life. And as I'm resurrected to new life again and again and again and again. And so all these things are because of God's will. His will is that you know how blessed you really are in Christ. And so we need to live these things out. Let's pray together.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.